And hello, everybody. Welcome to Keith and the Girl.
Hello.
How are you, Chenda?
Doing all right. Had quite the weekend.
I saw this on Twitter. Welcome, everybody. Lauren is here as well. How are you, Lauren?
I'm awesome.
Keith and the Girl has been on LA Podcast when we were over there on the West Coast, of course. We mentioned Ardent Atheist. That show is up. The Long Shot. Their show is up. Comedy Film Nerds is up. And today, Never Not Funny with Jimmy Pardo is up. And here's some people making comments on our forums. I guess every episode of these shows starts with the host asking if they said their name right.
Yeah, my name's a little tricky.
And then we have the little joke, of course. I say, yes, you said Keith right. But they go for Kamita anyway. try to let them off the hook. They keep trying. They're guessing. They guess.
Yeah.
Right? Why would you guess that? That
would be her superhero name, Kamita. The comedy.
I would rather, you know, more than Chemda or Kamita, where you're really guessing, I would rather you just mock the name outright and just call me Churnda.
Right.
Which is where Danny goes sometimes when he's trying to be endearing with me.
Also, Hemden and Keith weren't just funny on the Long Shot podcast. They fucking dominated. Here somebody says, seriously, Keith and Hemda on Never Not Funny to me is like seeing girlfriends from different parts of your life hang out and hoping for a threesome.
Well, that's the after show. You know, you have to pay a little bit more for his for the content past a half an hour. Spoiler alert, that's what happens.
I think that's why he rambles for a half an hour. I think he's a little trickster. I ended up talking about a little problem I had with Jimmy Pardo 5 years ago. We discussed that if you want to check it out.
I was actually surprised that either one of you guys brought it up. And he was the one who brought it up, which I thought was pretty cool. And then you guys really talked about it.
Yeah, you have to. Keith and Chemda, I'm a huge Never Not Funny fan, and I've been listening to Keith and the Girl since the beginning. I love both shows. And to have you all together was fantastic. I'm not even done with the episode, and I had to tell you how much I love it. Keep being awesome, Chrissy. So thank you. So I want to talk about Keith McNally. He did, in fact, leave America and go back to Canada. And I found out through Twitter. There was no note or phone call or text. I thought that was a little odd. But that was it. He indeed is too upset over the My Name is Keith episode, the spinoff show that I do. I'm like a drunk Mike Wallace, and I yell at you questions, and I learn about you. I honestly don't think I'm necessarily meaner on this spinoff show. I don't. I think I'm asking the same questions I would normally ask, but I'm pretending it's more of an interrogation because I fake yell it at the person who... Who knows what's going on anyway? We did it with Danny Hatch and then Brother Love. And then, of course, McNally was a two-parter. KeithandtheGirl.com/VIP to see what we're talking about. But what do you think?
I think that it is the same. Some people have said, you know, because...
I mean, it's not somebody's first time.
No. And also, you've heard other episodes or, you know, even McNally on his... You recorded something for his show right before, said, I know what we're about to get into and I'm not going to fall for it. Like, he literally was like, I'm ready for this bullshit. You know, he's not going to get me to say anything I don't want to.
Which, to me, when he said that, sorry, but when he said that, I'm like, fall for what? You know, I'm not going to, you know, want to get into it, but okay, you're not going to fall for it. I'm going to ask you... about getting money from your parents. I'm going to try to figure out why you seem so angry when you come off so nonchalant about the, you know, you seem not to care about anything, but I learn more and more the people that are like that care even more. So I'm going to try to figure that out. But like how, like he definitely came guarded up. He's like, I saw the way you got Brother Love to go, like, and you're not going to get me. And I'm like, I don't even know what that means.
Well, I think the three things that come up when we talk about what's different is some people say it, one of the differences is obvious. I'm not there, and people see me as like the, like maybe a little of the filter where it's like, well, you know, or I would be a sensitive note on there where you're more direct. You know what I mean?
I get you.
Maybe. Also, the focus is directly on that person, and you're trying to get to... There's no small talk. There's no, what do you think of other things? There is, how have you been going through your life?
I do stop them if they go to a story I don't care about.
Right.
Whereas
I might
let them go a little longer on this show.
Right. So then it's very focused. It's very
direct.
Thank
you, by the way.
I want to know your demons. I want to know what makes you respond to people that way. It's a very to the core or nothing.
Right. And copious amounts of alcohol.
And that was the third thing. So much alcohol that I think people do function differently on alcohol, and I think your behavior and yourself can change into something that you're not. I'm not saying that's not the way McNally is, but he certainly is not yelling at us on a daily basis and not yelling his woes at us and not saying nobody understands.
But he would not have let all this information out if he wasn't drinking. It didn't create a new person, I think.
Right. Like we said on ecstasy, it loosens your filters, so maybe... You are, depending, I think some drunk people are talking a lot of shit. You talked about when Brother Love gets drunk, he's suddenly mad at you.
Alcohol changes me too.
Yeah, he suddenly thinks you're a piece of shit. Lauren is not allowed to get drunk because she really does change into this other person that I don't like her behavior at all towards me or towards anyone. There's like this filter that's not good.
Right.
That gets taken away. So that's something, you know. So maybe he is... an extreme version, an overly emotional version. Maybe it wasn't good for him to have blocks up because he's already in a state of, what are you trying to do to me?
Yeah.
You know, and in that state, sometimes, you know, when people are on drugs or on any kind of mind-altering things, if they're already in a shitty state, I think you were saying this on my mushroom show, Lauren, don't be in a shitty state when you're doing mushrooms because that exaggerates your state. So maybe his...
So family, if you're listening, I do all kinds of drugs and I'm crazy when I get drunk. All safely.
He did send me an email I got right before the show saying, I'm back home. Sorry again for bailing on you. He was making this putting together a Keith and the Girl DVD, behind the scenes, all that. All the footage is backed up on the drives Keith gave me. Again, sorry for leaving. I really don't have the skin to be part of the world you guys have set up. It's fun to see what it's like to be a little bit famous, but I think that's a wrap on McNally. Thanks for all the nice things you've done for me, Chemda. And thank you, Keith, for offering to go to an Al-Anon meeting with me. That did mean a lot, and I appreciate McNally. Unfortunately, I think that's the end of it, though. You know what I mean? Me saying about, go to Al-Anon. You got to deal with these problems about your brother being a horrible drug addict. And I said, you know what? I'll go to Al-Anon with you. In fact, I won't even talk about it on the show, if that's a concern for you. If you do think I'm treating you like some kind of, you know, sideshow freak.
And you're kind of not allowed to.
I can do whatever I want.
Well, it's part of the Al-Anon and AA rules is that you're not going to just spew out people's shit after you get it, and especially not in media.
You know who had rules? America, when they didn't let blacks vote.
You know, maybe McNally
can just go on his own.
At a point.
We asked our audience, would you be a guest on My Name is Keith? 56% would.
Okay, that's not bad.
This person says, I would consider the loss of McNally as a friend of the show, Keith and Chemda, and the community, to be a tragedy. I can understand why he would feel raw and hungover after the My Name is Keith episode, but I thought the true friendliness shone through the ball busting. McNally says he throws bombs because he expects us to figure out that he's basically a decent guy. That's how I've always felt about him, and I hope he can feel that way about us, too. This is something he said about his personality, because I said, I don't think you're nice to people, and I cringe sometimes when you talk to people that don't really know you.
That's how the show started.
That's how it started, and I say, you know, something you said to Danny, something you said to other people. You know, Danny didn't tell me this. I'm seeing it, and I find it odd. Well, you seem very self-centered. I did say that. And it wasn't shocking to him. And
actually, he agreed with you.
Right. He agreed, and he said, you know what? I'll say what I want whenever I want, because if people can't look through that and see I'm a decent person, fuck them. And I remember thinking, oh, okay. You know, that seems a little odd to me. This person's first post says, great episode. Probably my favorite of the My Name is Keith series out of all two.
Wait, but can I just say that last person said it made it sound like we lost a friend.
Yeah.
That's not how I'm seeing it.
I don't think that you guys lost McNally to Keith and the girl either. I think he just doesn't want to be on the show and in the...
McNally's upset at me. I firmly believe this. I believe McNally is upset at me. I feel like he was used.
He thought he was used?
I think he's looking back and thinks that he was used for a laugh, and that as his friend, maybe I shouldn't have done it. Done what? I don't know. Say, no, you can't be on this show. You know, I don't know. But he definitely thinks this. He thinks I wasn't a good person. And then he didn't like that I would come up with a trailer for that show. He wouldn't like that I would send a tweet out, oh, here it is. Here's the show, guys. Eesh. I make trailers for every show. And I sent a tweet out for every show. Here it is, guys. So people go, oh, it's a big deal. Let me check his show out.
I agree with you. Part of his response does sound like he's mad at you. But I think the other part of him understands that it's not your fault and is responding that way also. So when he was saying things, he was saying, like, I didn't like this, but I understand that that's not you.
Say that again?
It's not on Twitter. It sounded like you were a jerk and he's mad at you. But in person, it sounds like he understands that if he is mad at you, he's only sort of projecting.
Right. I just think, like, even if, like, you talk to him sometimes and you get through, when he does retreat, which is exactly what he's doing now, he's stuck with his thoughts and his, you know what I mean? The thoughts that you're like, didn't we get somewhere in our relationship? Eat away. The bad thoughts eat the good thoughts when he's by himself. Am I making sense?
Yeah. I think that's what isolation sometimes does to people. I think a lot of times it does that.
Like now, you know, I'll let you hear a little bit. This is the trailer just to catch everybody. I hope I'm doing the right thing. But this is a trailer to so everybody knows what we're talking about. But he's talking about, his drug addict brother. And I honestly think, I'm not saying it's my great skills. Maybe it's he needed another Jaeger shot in his life. But I think he has a little bit of a breakthrough. And then to go like, all right, let me not think about this sadness. Let me go back home to Canada, where I'm sure they have Al-Anon meetings, but he's not going to go. Let's be honest. He's like, I won't have anybody challenging me, and so I'm just always going to have this anger. Do you know what I mean? It makes me sad that he's going back, because I know what that means. It's more than just something literal, something physical. It kind of upset me when he was over and his friend was over. And McNally brought it up. Oh, Keith thinks he figured out where all this pain comes. That comes with how that he thinks my mother did a number on me and my drug addict brother. And he thinks things stem from that. And I'm like, well, okay, if you said this in front of your friend. And I said something to the friend like, well, don't you think a lot does come from his mother the way? And he goes, nope, I don't see that at all. And then I'm like, okay, well, you know.
Thought his friend said that?
His friend said that. And I'm like, okay, if you're going to leave me hanging, I guess I'm fucking forget it.
Maybe his friend doesn't know.
It's best friend since grade school.
I don't think people always talk about, you know, the thing that's making them the most upset. You would have to confront it if you start saying it out loud.
I thought we were having, you know, not an intervention, but something like that. Like, now we're going to have two people that you know and trust. Mm-hmm. And then the friend just left me hanging. I'm like, you son of a bitch. Like, you know, maybe you didn't. It's like, dude, I'm on vacation. I don't want to tell McNally what's up, but you knew I had a point. You knew it. Here's a little trailer. This is My Name is Keith, number 4.
Is this the second episode?
My name is Keith! I want to make my brother better. I don't care. I don't care if I feel better. It doesn't matter.
Let me tell you something. For being so fucking genius, go to Al-Anon and set them straight.
Are you serious? Yes. After all this, that's what you're pitching me? That is bullshit.
Stop. You didn't hear me.
You don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. You don't know my brother.
You don't know what the fuck my family is about, so fuck
fucking
you.
Fucking bring it. You bring it.
I'm not so fucking hung up on it.
This is the one time I will not apologize and I will not say I'm sorry, Kyle.
I'm not asking you to.
No one! No one! It has never been this fucking bad!
I'm not asking
you. You don't know!
Calm down.
Fuck you! You don't fucking know what it's like! My whole family has been ruined by this fucking person!
We don't cry all day like a dirty little bitch cunt.
Fuck! Both of you, you don't know! He's gone! It's like my brother is fucking dead! The end!
KeithandtheGirl.com. Now, in all fairness, the dirty little bitch cunt was taken out of context.
I just think it's funny that they were all drunk telling McNally to go to Al-Anon. You should really go to Al-Anon, dude. We'll totally go with you. We'll have a couple drinks right before. It's going to be awesome.
We're not the ones with the problem. It's okay. We can drink as much as we want.
And broken chicks are like the best.
I think Al-Anon, you can bring drinks in because it's not about you. Kyle was the shining star in this episode. The advice he gave McNally was right on. His attitude about his horrible money situation is great. I feel like we should put together a sandwich fund for Kyle. A lot of people saying this. A lot of people liking Kyle and hearing his story about not having money. He's over at my fiance's work right now getting lunch. No joke.
But Kyle, really? You know what? Kyle's impressive. Kyle's really impressive. How old is he now? 22? And he's got a lot in his brain that is not like any other 22-year-old. He can focus. I mean, he's also sometimes just the dirtbag we know, but we like him that way, you know? Right. But when it comes to really having a conversation, he's got shit to give.
Dave from New Jersey, the Campobello issue has been raised, but Keith McNally is dead wrong if he claims that's one of the poorest places in North America. Median income for census families is $44,000. Median for lone parent families is $23,000. Poor, sure. Poorest in North America, not by a long shot. Here's Somerset, Pennsylvania. While my hometown, McNally started yelling at me, "You're not poorer than me." I'm like, I didn't fucking say nothing. I said this then, I'll say it again. My autobiography, The Great American Novel, I didn't really mention how poor we were. Because it didn't seem to register. And I said on My Name is Keith, I don't think to ask that to other guests. Do you know what I mean? If I find out they're religious, I'm from a religious family. My dad was a Catholic priest. I'll bring that up to relate. I know we were poor. It wasn't such a thing.
You didn't make it your identity.
I didn't make it my identity. It's not such a thing. I wouldn't even think to, number one question isn't to ask other guests about it. So when he says, you keep saying how poor you are, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know that I do. So anyway, in Somerset, Pennsylvania, they make $41,000. So they make less than the place he was from.
$41,000
compared to $44,000. Doesn't seem so bad, right?
$40,000? That's great. I mean,
in all fairness, you do in these places, I don't know about where he's from, like in Somerset, you know, you have like two or three mansions. That really sets off the...
The really rich people the really poor people.
Skyella saying, it sounds like being on his mom's payroll is enabling him to stay... By the way, when you think about the two price differences, $44,000 to $41,000, don't forget his free health care. Mm. You know, don't forget these kinds of programs we don't have. Skyella, it sounds like being on his mom's payroll is enabling him to stay stagnant. Absolutely. I think his self-esteem level, maturity, and even his quality of life would improve exponentially if he stopped depending on a monthly allowance from his parents and found consistent and meaningful work. That being said, we are all complex individuals, and this episode made him more human. Brian Ault, this episode made me like McNally more. Not sure what that says, he says about episode number one. However, when he got to episode two, McNally ended up saying some bad things about Brian Ault.
One bridge you had, McNally, you burned it.
He goes, let's go to Twitter questions. And he goes, who's this fucking idiot? What's his dumb question? Brian Ault says, well, fuck Brian. And I'm like, okay. So later he goes, well, fuck you.
He's drunk and you're mentioning something and that was the, you know.
And to Kyle,
a casualty.
To Kyle, I'm offering you to buy you lunch and not just once, say maybe a couple times a month. I have to add, angry people think the world is against them. I've been there. Staff Sergeant Ballard, every time we get to know McNally more, I have to say I dislike him more and more. He takes the victim role way too easily. He was yelling at me that Maine is a poor country. He goes, I lived right next to Maine. I'm like, Maine's expensive. He's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Maine's expensive.
They call themselves Maine.
Right. And I go, okay, nothing. I thought it was fucking expensive. No, you explain, you son of a bitch. And so I go, I've been to fucking Maine. It's lobster. It's, I mean, you know, it's Maine. I never thought I'd have this debate.
We wanted to celebrate an anniversary in Maine, and we ended up going to Atlantic City or something instead because we couldn't afford it.
It is expensive.
Of course it's expensive.
I think it has poor parts of it. I think it has I think like other states, you know, it has really shit poor places. But yeah, if you're trying to travel in Maine, because he was talking about, Keith, you brought up lobster, and McNally was like, lobster is what poor people eat. And it's true. It's what poor people used to eat.
In the 1500s, it's what poor people
eat. In Game of Thrones, maybe, somehow. I mean, what book did he read, or who told him this fact that poor people eat lobster?
It used to be peasant food.
But here's the thing, also. There are parts of... Remember when Jesse Joyce was going to have his bachelor party up in Canada, where it's right across from Maine or something, and those lobsters were really cheap because you're right there where the fisherman is. Jesse's parents have a place there or something, and it really is... You call out to the fisherman. I mean, no phone, just call out, like, we'll take 20 tonight, and it's really cheap right there.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
But not if you're, you know, in a hotel, not if you live there necessarily. Like, if you're in that part, if you're with the fishermen, I don't know. There's some parts, but it's not like, oh, no, Maine is just cheap and poor. It's not like that.
This person lives in Maine. I live in a house worth $200,000 across the street. There's a private road with houses going from 500,000 to 2 million. Maine is a landmass and the same size as the rest of the five states in New England, hosts some of the richest people in America, to include the Bush family. McNally needs to work on knowing some facts about what he is talking about. In comparison to poor Canada, we have some great places like Kentucky, where there are still areas without electricity or plumbing. Nate C. Nate, holy fucking amazeballs. This VIP, money well spent. His family couldn't even afford VIP. Ron says Kyle lost points with me.
Kyle lost points.
In this show, and McNally won points.
Oh.
Kyle needs to sound like less of a stoner and more serious.
On this drunken show.
Ron needs to smoke a joint.
He's awesome, but a dud on My Name is Keith.
Wow.
Kimberly says, I yelled at McNally while sitting at my desk at work. Yes, I'm a weirdo. This thing was intense. You people are amazing at this show business. Earl of Bass, I wish my uncle was poor enough to have two trailers.
Oh.
That's true.
Oh.
My uncle was the poorest. He had two trailers. I'm like, two? I don't have one.
Damn.
I rent an apartment.
I think you can rent trailers, though, in all fairness.
As remember it from Keith I assume he owns the trailers, it sounded like.
I don't know.
No?
I don't know.
I do know.
All right.
As remember from Keith McNally, owned podcast. He grew up a video game nerd, lived in a three-story house with the third floor to himself. His pet rat had his own room to destroy. Also, it's kind of interesting when the quality of life is measured in Big Macs. I'm a Tammy. Says, also kudos to McNally for putting up so much resistance to Keith's techniques. Now, you gotta hear
oh,
this
he's
show.
A ninja.
What are my techniques. Keith was so relentless, even his security had second thoughts. As an audience member, though, I'm very happy with the result. Thank goodness McNally can be rational about it now. I'm sure and realize he just got a little drunk and lost his temper for a bit. Shots! Danny Hatch is hearing about all these spin-off shows, and he says, do you guys want to share your story on my new show? I have a name, too. You guys, hey, where are you going? Come on. Temp Foot. I've always liked McNally and still do after this episode. I sent him dough when his shit burned up and would probably do it again, but holy balls. Yes, there was clearly a lot of alcohol involved, and I understand the magnified emotions, but also in vino veritas, which of course means let the buyer beware. Seems like McNally got raw and showed us his internal struggles justifying his vagabond beatnik mooch lifestyle.
Doesn't that mean when you're drunk you tell the truth?
Yes, it does. Somehow it's okay for him to sponge a grand off mom as an adult because he somehow knows what it's like to be poor. Not just poor, but really, really poor. Huh? Probably unfair to bust balls for drunk logic, but he was very entertaining to listen to all the superlatives. McNally's mom was from the poorest place in all of North America. I'm sure folks in Appalachia, Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, and Haiti are glad to know that. McNally's brother is the worst drug addict, and so on. This is true. He did deal in superlatives. His mom is the nicest. McNally knows he is the smartest. And I'm like, yeah, but all these things?
But I think it's because he never really talked to anyone else
right.
On the same subject that has the same experiences or because you really do feel like you're alone when certain things are so tragic. Like how could anyone understand that his brother is a dying drug addict that they're barely keeping alive and they have to question if them keeping his brother alive is even good for him or not. You don't know what you're doing in that situation. You don't know if to take everything away from that drug addict and to go, you have to hit your bottom, even if that means death. As an immediate family member, you don't know what to do. Should I help this person, even though technically I'm not supposed to, and he's supposed to realize on his own? How could he realize when he's drugged up with major, major shit, and he looks like he's dead, and we're just looking at him like a piece of nothing.
But maybe
it's heartbreaking, and if you don't deal with that, I think
right.
that's where you go.
Well, it's dragging him down. If maybe the drug thing is different where, like, that's all he sees. He can't imagine. I mean, quote, fuck brother loves brother, he says. He can't imagine anybody else having to deal with that.
Yeah.
But he can't imagine. But the point is, he can't imagine anybody dealing with anything he's
yeah.
dealing with. I don't think he lets people in his life that challenge him. I really don't. And nobody else can have a worse drug-addicted family member. No one's as poor as his mother. No one's as this. No one's as that. No one.
Brother.
He's an anomaly. They should do a reality show on him.
But also, no one has ever maybe talked to him about it. And no
yeah.
one has been allowed in to discuss it. And no one is allowed to talk on any more of a level other than, things are all right. If you talk to him And we have talked to him on the show and off when he's not drinking and not maybe tapping into something or whatever it is. He's saying everything always works out for him. He's actually a pretty... He's the opposite of what he's saying. No one has it as bad as him. He's always saying that things are okay. Like his house burned down. It wasn't that bad. This happened. It wasn't that bad. Maybe because part of his guard, part of him being able to deal with that. And I mean, my brother was in the hospital for trying to kill himself. I could not even imagine talking to people on a level where they understand I have to visit my brother and watch him being restrained by people because he's acting up because, you know, and he keeps saying, as soon as they let me out, I'm going to use a gun this time so that I'm not caught, so that it ends. You know, how do you talk to somebody about that without them just kind of tilting their head and just feeling bad for you or just, you know, really believing that they understand this? And that's why something like Al-Anon is good, because you are dealing with exactly the same problems as the other people in different ways, and they're helping you understand what's going on through your brain. Because the problem is, the addict, it's obvious. You have a problem. This is your problem. You know, we can help you by doing this. And that's why there are more AA meetings than Al-Anon meetings. But as an Al-Anonic, you don't know where your problem. Why is it my problem? It's my problem that I'm related to this person. It's my problem that I let this person into my life. It is an actual problem. It is the same. It's similar to if someone is drawn to, let's say, alcohol or drugs, you're drawn to an alcoholic or someone who you somehow, there's something in your brain that's similar to an alcoholic that you are addicted to. And unless you understand that, you don't know how to maneuver your way around it.
Right.
Yeah, damn.
Even so, this person continues, I bet McNally would still be a smart and cool guy to hang out with. VIP is so worth it. Well, thank you. Crazy for having three. Man, these episodes are so good. I was as impressed by Kyle's insight as I was frustrated by McNally's complete dismissal of every point Keith and Kyle tried to make. McNally, you have always been one of my favorite guests, and this interview made me really sad for you. You're wasting so much energy on this bullshit. Even if your family grew up as the poorest people on earth, why does that matter? Even if your brother is the worst drug addict who ever lived, why does that matter so much to you? I was telling them, go to this Al-Anon and just blow their minds. I pictured it being a room of 12 people, and even dozen. And I said, just make 11 people get up and go, sorry for wasting everyone's time. You really are the worst.
Don't forget that there are people in Al-Anon who have not only lost one loved one, who keep losing because it's, you know, sometimes it's just hereditary, sometimes it's running in the family. Sometimes, as an Al-Anonic, you're just drawn to people who are constantly doing that.
And sometimes you do hear that kind of stuff in Al-Anon meetings that McNally was saying, like, no one has it harder than me and no one this and that. And you know what? Everyone there can relate.
They're
to
all
that
nodding.
Feeling.
They're all nodding, going, yep, no one has it as bad as you.
Why?
It's true.
I have alcoholism in my life and in my family as well. So, like, I think it would be good.
We've been to meetings together also.
Why is it so important to you that everyone think your family situations are so much worse than anyone else? Does that change your life in any way? Do you win some kind of award for having the most fucked up family?
But here's the thing about that. A lot of people said that about McNally. And it's like, you can't just go, what's the difference? You can't shit on people's problems like that. You can't just go, what do you care if this, that, and the next? Because you care, because you're human and this affects you.
Well, not like, why do you care? I think this woman is saying more focus on how you're saying the worst, the poorest.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't, and you don't. So let this shit go and move on with your life. Torturing yourself by wallowing in the fact that your family, which you seem to have little to do with anyway, has some problems that you can't do anything about, is getting you nothing but unnecessary guilt and anger. You are very talented. Put all that passion you have for hating America and carrying your mom's past and present burdens into something that you love and will benefit you. That is all. Smiley face.
And even if that's like a new video game console, you know what I mean? If that makes you happy, I don't know. We had a talk and he was telling me, like, he's like, you know, I don't know. I don't need to be on the show. You know, it's like, I don't have anything to plug. I'm just content. I'm chill. I'm happy. Like, just like, living day to day and hanging out, you know, I don't have anything that is like so important that I need to go on the show and talk about. I think, I don't know.
Well, I think we asked him to be on the show not to draw up more drama, but we think that if that's the last taste that people get, you know, if you come on the show, you might, in your sober state, in your more empathetic state, might become the more endearing person that you have been. Right. You know, like
just get on and be like, yo, I was really fucked up. Yeah. And there's a mic in front of your face, and that changes things too. It changes when you're sober, you know, things a little bit. You know, if you add alcohol to that, it's going to...
But I think that upset me more. I think this invite to do a Keith and the Girl show upset him more. Like, yeah, you're trying to get me again.
Maybe because, what's drawing up all the negativity is being in front of the mic, and now we're asking him to be in front of the mic. I could see how that would look that way.
But he's heard this show for 7 years. Am I a good person or not?
It's different when it's about you.
Trustin Charlie wrote, by the way, I've said this before and I noticed this a lot. The people who say they don't care what other people think care the most. Everybody cares what people think. Now, of course, you know, I'll have people hate me or this show. I don't care what this person thinks or that person thinks. But in general, I care what the mass of people think. And everybody does. You have these people that go on websites and they put fake names. They do what they call trolling. And they say something stupid to try to get people riled up. And so people will get mad and start saying something to that person. Even with a fake name, that person really does care. You could see it on any message board. And it really does affect them. You know who really didn't care what other people thought? Spooky. He didn't care what other people thought so much, I don't talk to him anymore. Do you see what I'm saying?
Because you're not going
to
care.
Because
about
he's not opinion. Open. He's not open to this relationship anymore because he is offended the way he's talked to. Do you know what I mean? McNally cares the most what people think. It made him leave another country. But he'll tell you he doesn't. Everybody does. And the people that say they don't care even more. Mm. Any of these people fucking with you on the internet ever, they care more. They aren't at home cheering, giving the mayor the high five. They're crying. They accomplished nothing. Trust in Charlie. At one point when he was talking about his mom and Al-Anon, you can kind of hear him doing that little kid cry where they have no control over themselves. After hearing that, I started hearing the same loss of control in his yelling. McNally has some serious demons, which really show in this episode. I really like Keith's point about stop yelling about the jocks and pick up some weights. Really poignant. Bucho. The hardest thing to get my head around is why McNally's suffering is expressed in almost a sporting context. Like it's the International Competitive Suffering League. And McNally has his broken heart set on bringing that gold medal back to New Brunswick.
There's your new show title.
Right. But in addition to the fact he's obviously off his tits drunk, it's so clear that McNally's raging demons are born out of his broken heart for his lost brother that you pretty much have to be heartless not to feel for him. If Keith Malley can sit in the room with McNally and take the full force of that firestorm of hate for his beloved America and still react so outstandingly level-headed and frequently hilarious, then I can't be frustrated at or pissed off at or hateful towards McNally. There's a particularly touching moment where Keith responds calmly to an episode of McNally's full-volume bloodletting that you can almost see the red mist clear from McNally's eyes, and there's a sense of relief and gratitude in his voice as he says something like, "Thank you for fighting through the shouting fits." At some points, it was almost as if he was possessed, but Keith's refusal to be mad at his friend for how wildly he was behaving kept acting as that release valve, kept grounding the charge. Kyle was great, but after a while it was clear the way he was shouting back at McNally wasn't helping. Yeah, I can't have my security on my show start yelling at these guests. It makes it hard. It was clear that Kyle yelling wasn't helping McNally. He couldn't break out of the competition mode. It was only feeding the beast. It was Keith Malley's calm, oddly affectionate verbal jujitsu that kept bringing the whole thing back on track when it continually threatened to derail and explode.
Verbal jujitsu.
Verbal jujitsu.
I thought one of the most hilarious parts of that last trailer was in the middle of the screaming and you hear Keith going, "Calm down."
Right.
I'm like, oh my God.
I did do that. That wasn't edited weird. I would say like, why are you yelling at me?
Yeah.
What are you yelling at again? Scotticus says, "I really like McNally. I think he's a kind and funny soul. I've enjoyed every interaction I've had with the guy. Also, we don't often get to hear somebody's therapy session recorded. If even half the crazy shit I said while drunk and aggravated got recorded and scrutinized, I'd probably be unemployed or in jail. Moving on, I think Canadians are huge pussies."
Whoa, segue.
"There is no document anywhere that says that Canada has to be little and subservient to America." This came out. And he says, like, it seems like we're Canada's big brother and we're ignoring Canada. When it's like, "America, you keep telling us you're the best." It's like, "Canada, we don't talk to you. We don't care. We got our own shit going on to stay the best." "There is no document anywhere," he writes, "that says that Canada has to be little and subservient to America. It is that way because it chose that path. There are a lot of countries right now who are doing their best to shove our American pride up our American asses, and some are doing a pretty good job of it, Canada included. But Canada still feels like a bitch. It's not America's fault that Canada feels like a bitch. It's Canada's fault. Canadians possess the same amount of national pride per capita as Americans. They rebrand every American business that operates there with a fucking maple leaf, yet they still have a chip on their shoulder. On top of that, they're wealthier than us. Even with all of that, they still have a huge chip on their shoulders, and I'm not just talking about Keith. I've heard these sentiments expressed over and over by Canadians. Maybe adopt a little smug pride and swagger around what you do have, healthcare, Pamela Anderson, curling, etc. See where that gets you, and quit your bitching. If you don't like the world, you have every ability to change it. We all do. We're all bags of flesh that die in the end, so get to it.
I like that response the best. That one was my favorite.
In this life, you can do the shitting or get shit on. And while we weren't all given the gifts that allow us to be shitters, most people take the easy way out and get shit on. I feel Canada has decided it wants to be the bottom in this international scat party simply because it doesn't know that all it has to do is say, it's my turn to poop. Either shit or get off our chests.
Wow. Awesome.
Got sexual there somehow.
Awesome. Seamus saying, amazing show. This is probably the most comfortable show. Does he mean uncomfortable? That's important.
I hope so.
I have listened to that delved so deep and raw. A beautiful mix of shots. My name is Keith. Shouts and laughs against serious talk and absolute raw emotion. By the way, I got the feeling that Keith was forgetting there is more to the U.S. than Canada. There is more than the U.S. and Canada in North America.
Mm. We're just prettier.
Tallulah says, I just heard show 1637. And I can't believe McNally is so distraught because of this My Name is Keith show that he's not going to continue making the Keith and the Girl documentary.
I don't think that's necessarily true either, is it?
He's still saying that he'll edit it.
He still wants footage. To work with you guys. He just doesn't want to be in the
room.
Right, in the light, in the whatever.
Know, might have something to do with making a documentary. I don't know about all the feedback he was getting, but I can say that the second episode of My Name is Keith really made me feel for McNally. He is a completely sympathetic guy with a lot of feelings. He needs Al-Anon coupled with therapy. He isn't a dick at all. He just has things to work through. He feel things acutely, which is something I completely relate to. I grew up with an addict mom who is now dead because of her addictions. I have one brother and one sister. We each responded in different ways to all the things that happened to us. I felt things so acutely and felt so responsible that I got seriously depressed. My brother checked out and couldn't handle dealing with anything at all, just withdrew. My younger sister became angry, and anger still controls her life. I wish McNally had stayed on long enough to get the other side of this, because Keith Malley is a great friend to him. Listen to this! Listen to this, Mr. McNally. Keith expressed his love for his friend, and in a way that really touched me and made me realize what an amazing and complex human being Keith Malley is.
Wow.
Keith Malley and Kyle were both amazing. I hope McNally is able to see that and is able to reconnect with them. These two episodes of My Name is Keith have made me a much bigger fan of Keith Malley. I'm almost offended, to be honest. He is a quality human being. McNally is so fortunate. I just hope he eventually sees it. And there you have it.
Whew, my goodness.
There you have it. It was an intense time.
Yes.
But like I said, that's what I hope. I hope he just doesn't retreat, find what's comfortable around him. You know? And
I think that's what he wants.
That's what he wants. Well, he's not allowed to have it. I'm a friend. He's not allowed to have it. You know, there's Alan on there. He does have a point, though. He thought, he wasn't really listening sometimes, but he thought Al-Anon's the same as AA.
A lot of people do.
Well, you don't have to, you could change the name. You don't have the name, have to have the name so close. What does Al-Anon stand for?
Well, it's also very closely related, so it's easy.
I thought it was weird to call it Al-Anon because it stands for Alcoholic Anonymous. I thought they could have a different sort of thing.
Well, the first guy who started it, his name was Al. Kidding. I'm totally just kidding right now.
and he has an ego problem.
Basically.
And he said, you call him all that. This was all my idea. Now, just, you had, again, I'm not giving myself some credit like I'm this great therapist, but you did have a breakthrough that I'm guessing you haven't had in a while, if ever. I guess if ever, if it's a breakthrough, right? Stick with that. Feel. That's why you're so nonchalant about everything. It's you're not letting yourself feel because you need to be right. You know, that's what I think. And when you think you're getting away from this problem by leaving physically where you said it out loud. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. You said it in this studio, so you have to get away from this studio. Well, I'm in it, right? A little bit? Well, I'm international, baby. I'm going to find you. And I'm going to fix you, like it or not.
America's God complex much?
Hey, I'm a hero, but
I'm everywhere. I'll fix you.
Look, listen.
Because he has Jesus with the American flag.
Right. Look, I'm Superman.
Okay.
But if you build a house out of kryptonite, what do you want? You know what I mean? What do you want from me? Of course, you know, America, we have our own problems, absolutely. But we get to the point, too. You know what? You ever notice, like, old people, when we were younger, we would say, maybe we'd even say it now, like, how stuck in your ways, you know? You can make the world a better place. It's like, you know, with some things you can, sure. But in general, who gives a shit anymore? Old people don't have time for dumb conversations. I'm appreciating them more and more.
Oh, no.
We have this representative here in Missouri called Todd Akin. And he's causing a commotion because he was on a TV show. And he was talking about women and how their reproductive organs work. He's a Republican that, like the majority of them, believe that women should not get abortions no matter what, even in causes of rape.
That's where you lose me, because I really, you know, I am pro-choice. However, I do think for this one, the pro-lifers have a huge... huge side. I mean, yes, that you're creating something. You did that. Take responsibility for it. I understand that. I just like that I have that option, because you really can get fucked over. But when it comes to rape, for example, I mean, you're not going to let that one thing. The woman has to be stuck with her rapist's baby with that, and then what? Raise it?
Yeah. Or put it in the system.
Yeah, put it in the system, give it up for adoption. I'm sorry, but that's... that's got to be something. That's got to be, give someone a break.
And I'm saying rape, never mind incest, you know. So you had Newt Gingrich in the past saying about women soldiers. We can't have them because if they stayed in a ditch for 30 days, they'd get infections. These guys don't know how women's bodies work, period.
In their ditch.
So this guy, you know, member of the Senate, and he says that when women have babies, by the way, through rape, assuming it's, quote, legitimate rape, who knows what that means, it is really rare that they will have a baby. If it's legitimate rape, the female body has ways to try to shut the whole thing down.
Fuck you.
That whole thing. Conception. He says he's talked to many doctors, and if it's legitimate rape, the body will shut it down and not have a baby. So
I guess that's how you know if it's legitimate rape.
So then rape isn't so bad.
Oh, he's saying, no, of course it's bad. Let's punish the rapist, but let's not punish this child that could be born. And, you know, sometimes maybe it'll happen, but in general, the body will shut down. This fucking idiot. And you're going to have this over and over again. People keep saying, shit like this, it's the end of the world. It's like, it's not. I'm seeing this more and more the older I get. Another dummy. What are you going to do about it? Make a Twitter joke and you don't. I'm not doing anything about this guy. What are you doing about that? Nothing. Nothing. You have so many dumb people around us. They're going to get into office. What am I going to do about it? He won't open his mouth so fast because he was made fun of. But this is truly what he believes.
Then the argument makes sense. And if it's legitimate rape, the man's sperm won't work because it's not being used for conception. It's being used for pleasure.
Yeah, but do you understand that if a woman gets pregnant, that's going to...
then she must have been turned on and she actually wanted it.
It's not rape.
He's 65 years old, if you're curious, with the smuggiest face I've ever seen.
Well, homosexuals fuck animals, so...
And so you would hear people say, what doctor? Like he talks to doctors.
Yeah.
I saw another doctor the other day. I asked him about this.
Yeah, this doctor was sucking babies. Me off, and and he said, mm-hmm.
An 11-year-old Catholic girl in Ohio wants to get communion. She can't because she can't eat gluten. And the church refuses to make wheat hosts.
Well, Jesus is white.
So they're like, right, fuck him, I can't change it.
You can't eat a brown Jesus.
I thought this was interesting. Speaking of Twitter, this one woman, Lauren Clower, she ended up talking to an atheist.
And she sounds like a bitch already.
She does, right? She says, worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water. And this atheist, it's at Atheist Q, called Atheist Quotes, wrote back, Lauren, 1 Timothy 2:12, I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet. There's your religion.
That's hilarious.
There you have it.
Go, Timothy.
This is going on in our schools. A Texas jury took less than an hour to find a former high school English teacher guilty yesterday of having group sex with 5 18-year-old students. She got in trouble. Brittany Cullops, 28, of Arlington, was convicted on 16 felony counts of an inappropriate relationship. So although they were 18, it's still, believe it or not, inappropriate.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised that they... It's just inappropriate because she was their
teacher. She's the teacher.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
But then that means she can't get on charges for rape.
She won't get rape charges, yeah. But each count is punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison.
Really? Whoa.
Wait a minute. So, really, it's that illegal for you to have sex with a student?
I think it should be. I think your position is such a power, I don't care that you're 18.
But, okay, so then why isn't it that way for professors in college with their students? I mean, yeah. I know it's still kind of frowned upon, but it's not, you won't go to jail for
I've never heard of this, where it's 18 and over.
There could be an 18-year-old college student.
No, I understand that. I thought as long as they're 18, it doesn't matter. Like Lauren said, frowned upon or...
Just, I also see a difference.
You're fired, maybe. I did not know that you can go to jail for that.
I see a difference between a college. A college you choose to go to. I didn't, if you're in the Army, I understand you can... Of course you can... I understand, trust me, that you could have sex with somebody of a higher rank. These are things I chose to do, and you have to believe I'm an adult sometime.
Yeah, but fuck your teacher.
If I'm still in school, I'm not an adult. If I'm still in high school, which I had to go to, which I had no choice about, quite frankly, then I am still a child. If I make some kind of different move after that, even if I'm still 18, I think it's more an adult decision.
Except that that's not what I understood the law to be. I understood that it's 18 and over, except that when I was 17, I was in college. You know,
I get being fired by the school, maybe, getting, punished by them and maybe losing your job. But it's weird that if you're 18 in high school, you'll get prison. But if you're 18 in college, you'll just...
Yeah, that's weird.
Get slapped on the hand.
Cullops, who is married and has 3 children. Turned herself in after a cell phone video of an encounter with a high school student surfaced. Well, how are they going to keep a secret, dum-dum? The trial was...
Did she know the video was going?
I'll tell you. The trial was marked by graphic testimony of the group sex romps, which occurred at her home in April and May of 2011. But 3 of the former students, who were football and track athletes, well, go with the nice bods, testified that they did not consider themselves victims and did not want to see her prosecuted. However, the police detective said whether they're 18 or not, it's a crime for a teacher to have sex with the students. During the week-long trial, a former student, who is now 20, testified that he was the orgy participant who recorded his last encounter on a cell phone. He said initially the students spoke of the importance of keeping their activities quiet because they didn't want their teacher in trouble. He's saying all this. Mm-hmm. First, we all decided we'd be quiet. Oh, okay.
Yeah, but to not get her in trouble, I don't know if they anticipated jail because they're 18. Trouble you can get into because that's your teacher.
Yeah, but they made a pact and now he's coming out and getting her in trouble.
Yes. Yeah. It's okay. Not the kid. The kids aren't going to get
how
in trouble.
How did this come about? Was it her idea? And how did she go about getting this group orgy together? It's hard enough to get one, right?
For in women? High school?
No, I mean, like with those stakes.
He also said that when school officials first questioned him, he denied the tryst, saying, I was trying to save her. So what happened? He gets jealous of these other guys as the more he thinks about it?
Maybe he gets nervous. You know, somebody might have gotten to him like, look, you're going to get in trouble if you don't tell the truth now. The more you prolong this, the worse it's going to be for you.
Just then delete the video.
I've seen detective shows.
Okay, so let me give, when they go, hey, I see some of these detective shows, and they go, you have a diary? I need you to bring that in. And they go, okay. And they bring in the diary and they go, it's all here. It's like, oh, I didn't think you'd be able to figure out what I was writing.
Or maybe
like, burn the fucking diary and then go to court. Throw your cell phone out and then go to court.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe he does want to come forward. Maybe he does think it's wrong now, but he doesn't want to say it out loud.
He also said that when school officials first questioned him, I was trying to save her. Her husband, Christopher, who was...
Oh, husband. Oh, Lord.
And 3 kids.
Oh, goodness.
He was serving in the Army overseas at the time.
Oh, no. No, 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 no.
He testified he is angry, but he says...
No.
We're going to stay together. Quote, because till death do us part means till death do us part.
And that's the sanctity of marriage.
And she goes, oh, thank God. I'm going to be down at the track field. See if I can help any kids out.
You know what? I can see getting over whoopsie doodles. which I don't believe there are any. I think that you make a decision to do that. But for this, I don't know how you get over that. I don't know how you are going to have a functioning relationship. You can stay married all you want, but I don't know if your marriage is going to be functioning well.
Anytime track came on during the Olympics, she had to quickly turn the channel. Oops, there was a football game. It was tough to keep changing the channel, not remind them.
Oh, my God.
Two burglars broke into a San Antonio mixed martial arts gym after midnight. Turned out martial artists were working late and beat the shit out of them.
That's awesome.
Oh, right on.
A Scrabble player was booted from a championship tournament in Orlando after he was caught trying to sneak in extra tiles. He's under 18. He's at some Scrabble event. He comes with blank tiles because you can put a blank tile down and call it any letter. And he fumbled with them and got caught. Now, you would know when the game is over. Somebody would go, oh, there's too many blank tiles on the board. But I guess you wouldn't know who did it. You wouldn't know. You'd be able to look back at the words he made.
Yeah.
What a dumb those blank tiles. And now, oh, I'd love to see his face when he denies it at first. Like, I don't know how that. I brought it. Oh, yeah, yeah. I brought him from another game with my friend. I thought it would be a joke if I.
Well, this isn't the game where you bring five blank tiles. Everyone brings five.
I'm taking words with friends. Jeez.
I challenge you, I think. Or me. Or.
Yeah. I think I'm fucking my teacher. I have video. Lauren, she has a website. And I'm going to tell you what it is. It's her name, for God's sake. It's laurenhennessy.com. And you can see all the plays she's doing. You can see the whatnots. I know something's going on right now.
I got two more shows. Cause of Failure and The Fringe. All the information's on the website if you're in New York at all.
So how do you sign your mailing list? Because you said she calls it her email monkey, but it's actually MailChimp.
Yeah, you can get my email monkey at laurenhennessy.com/updates. But I'm really thinking of changing it to laurenhennessy.com/email monkey, but I'll let you know if I do. It's laurenhennessy.com/updates. If you sign up, I don't know, I'm proud of my sign-up process because I designed it, and you should just sign up to see what I did. It's funny.
There you have. Sounds funny and sounds interesting.
And then cancel right after. Safe unsubscribe. You can just unsubscribe, boom.
She could see you when you unsubscribe.
I can. I can see your name, and I unfriend you on Facebook.
Hey, I don't even know what to do now. I'm a little confused, but I'll take a look at it for sure.
Just laurenhennessy.com. Her birthday's coming September 11th.
I make them all when I'm high, so you can check my spelling mistake.
Are you when you send out your emails?
Yeah.
Well, I'm in then for sure. Thank you, Lauren, very much.
Thank you, guys.
We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. KeithandTheGirl.com.